Church, and it's my privilege to get a few moments to speak with you today and share some thoughts from the Bible. I want to welcome our online community today. Why don't you welcome everyone online this morning? If you're online, we give you a big welcome. Nice to have you joining us wherever you are, whatever room you're in today. Make sure you do catch up with all the news of what's going on in church life. I know church news kind of comes at us at 100 miles an hour, and it's a bit of information to take in. So go to our website, as was stated, and check it all out on there. Make sure you're not missing out on what's coming up and what's going on in church world. If you do want more information about that, the Ask Me desk in the foyer is the place to go to find out everything and anything that's happening in church world, and the people there will help you in terms of that. Well, we're continuing today a theme we started last week called Fuss or Future. Fuss or Future. And it's just a way of kicking off the year for us all, because we're living in a season, and you don't need to be told this, you know this, of uncertainty and insecurity. And they tell us, the experts, I mean, who are they? The experts tell us that this is a season where you've got to be able to pivot quickly. You've got to be fluid and flexible, because everything shifts and changes in seasons of uncertainty and seasons where things are unpredictable. So it's a confusing season. It has been confusing for some people. It's been a season of frustration, a season of changing rhythms, changing patterns, and changing habits for a lot of people, and a lot of church people, a lot of good Christian people, a lot of devoted God followers have found a real challenge in the patterns of this new season. And some have responded bravely, some have not. Some have responded in an unbelieving way, with a retreating spirit. And I just want to say to all of us today, as the church, we should have an advancing spirit, an advancing posture, an advancing attitude, even in challenging, difficult, and uncertain seasons. So rather than respond to the season with a spirit of resignation, let's respond to the season with a spirit of resilience. Any friends out there today? Anyone believing in that today? Come on. You're the already convinced. I don't have to convince you, and I'm not trying to convince you. You're already convinced. So let's have a posture that we are the convinced ones. We are the convinced ones. We already believe. Here's my encouragement from last week. Just a few thoughts we shared last week to review things for people that may have missed out. We looked at not getting stuck in the now. Don't get stuck in your now. By that I meant don't get stuck in the fuss of what's going on around the world and around your world, either socially, economically, physically, relationally, whatever it might be, from a faith perspective. Don't get stuck in the now. The thing about the now is it won't last forever. The now is always changing, and what is true now may not be true tomorrow circumstantially. And so we just keep walking. If I've learned anything in terms of growing older, and we're all doing that, in terms of growing older, I've learned that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And it doesn't feel like it when you're in it, or when you're in the middle of it, when it's around you or surrounding you, but just don't get caught up in the fuss. Stay focused on the future. The truth is, though, many are stuck. They're stuck, literally stuck in the now. Stuck by what's happening to them or around them. Stuck by what's happened in the past that still affects them. Stuck in the consequences of this pandemic, in the fallout socially, and unable to see a way forward. And so, church, I want to encourage every one of us today to keep our eyes focused on the future. We're not people of the now, we're people of the future. Keep our eyes focused on the future and the dream that God has got for us. So last week we looked at these thoughts. We looked at not worrying about the fuss, but focusing on the future. And the reason for that is freedom is found in the future. It's not found in the now. It's found in the future as we keep walking towards the dream that God has for us. Closely linked with that, we looked at the thought that our perspective can open or close the way forward. In other words, a wrong perspective will literally keep you out of your promise. It'll keep you out of your promised land. We looked at that with the Israelites in the Old Testament and how their perspective was keeping them out of the promises of God and out of the promised land. We encouraged each other not to allow the pandemic to dictate our perspective, our posture, but to maintain a spirit of faith and resilience and adventure in the way we live our lives. So this week, let's start with a quote from George Bernard Shaw, philosopher. He says, reasonable men adjust to their world. Unreasonable men, let's make it people because it's not about gender. Unreasonable people refuse to adjust to their world. They adjust the world to themselves. Therefore, all progress depends upon unreasonable people. You know, we are in an unreasonable season. We're in an unreasonable moment that has gone on for some time. A season of unreasonableness that has forced change upon the way we do life, on our world in so many ways. There's hardly anything that's been untouched by the ramifications of this pandemic that has struck our world. Everything that could be shaken has been shaken. Here's the thing about unreasonable seasons. Unreasonable seasons demand unreasonable responses. Unreasonable seasons demand unreasonable responses. Unreasonable seasons demand we believe as believers for unreasonable things. There are things we need to believe for that are unreasonable. They're irrational. They're beyond the scope. They're off the radar. They're out there. They're unseen things is what the Bible says. Do you know it is unreasonable to believe for unseen things? That's unreasonable. It's irrational. It's illogical. Yet that's what the Bible pulls us towards, is believing for the unbelievable, believing for the impossible, believing for the improbable. That's what God calls us to do. And so we are called by nature of being believers. If you're a believer, you're called to be unreasonable in terms of what you are believing God for in this moment. And so the moment demands we become unreasonable. Now, unreasonable people, and I'm talking about the positive of unreasonableness. Unreasonable people, what they do is they create their own culture. They create their own weather. Everywhere they go, they take the weather. That's what unreasonable people do. Unreasonable people create their own climate. They don't have it dictated to them. They don't have it determined by others. Instead of conforming, unreasonable people transform. They transform. Instead of being molded, they mold. That's what unreasonable people do. Paul kind of references the thought I'm sharing here in Romans 12:1, where he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, we're all included, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Church, do you know we are called and we are commanded to offer our entire lives to God? Our entire lives to God. Not our Sunday, our entire lives to God. Every aspect of our lives, every part of your world is touched by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything in your world is changed by what Jesus did when he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and we placed our trust and faith in him to be the Lord and the Savior of our lives. From that moment on, we were called to hold nothing back. We were called to hold nothing back in terms of the way we live our lives. And Paul says this is our true and proper worship. He goes on to say, so do not conform. Here's the thought. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Do you know it's so easy just to conform to what everyone else is doing, what everyone else is saying, what everyone else is believing, how everyone else is responding or reacting. It's so easy to be a conformer, but we're not called to be that. Paul says, but be, he's speaking to believers, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we're commanded in the scriptures. We're commanded not to conform to the behaviors and the patterns of this world, that rule this world. But we are called to live in this world, but not be of the world. To live in the world, but not be controlled by the way the world thinks, by the way the world rationalizes things, by the way the world responds to things. If you're a believer, you're called to respond with a believing heart, a believing posture, a believing attitude. Any believers in the room today? Yes. Come on, we're called to respond with a believing attitude. So we live transformed by God's word and ways with our minds renewed. So literally, we're called to live unreasonable lives. Unreasonable lives. Now, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. We all know unreasonable people. They're just hard to get along with. They're just difficult. They're just awkward. They're just prickly. They're just socially... It's crazy when people are just unreasonable. Have you ever met an unreasonable person? Come on, maybe you're in customer service. You get them all the time. They're just unreasonable. Dealing with people. Some people just have a habit and a culture of being unreasonable in a negative way. I'm not referring to that today. I'm talking about being unreasonable in what you believe for in the positive sense of things that are outside of our scope so that you and I can be initiators of change with God's help. We can be initiators of change. So let's not quite be as reasonable as we are. Let's not quite be as accepting as we are. But let's learn to speak to our future. Let's learn to speak to our now. Let's speak to our environments with a heart, mind, and mouth full of faith. Let's speak to our expectations and believe for God to do something good. You know, there's nothing quite as exciting as expectation. Expectation is such a powerful force. When you're someone that is expectant, you're not falling asleep on me in church. When you're expectant, you're leaning in. When you're expectant, you're a little bit like the crowd last night at the Australian Open watching Ash Barty. And, you know, when she was in that second set and it wasn't looking good, and I was texting Lloydie, I said, Lloydie, I'm nervous because, you know, she was a few games down and the set was going. She was losing it, Lloyd. And I was feeling for her. But that crowd were there to see Ash win. That crowd were full of expectancy. Everybody was on the edge of their seat. They weren't quiet. They were loud. They were real loud. And they got louder and louder. And there's something dynamic about expectancy. There's something exciting about lean in. There's something excited about that positive posture. It lifted Ash. And you could see it on her face. You could see her focus. She came there to win. She didn't come to lose. She came there to win. And she clawed her way back when it looked over, when it looked done, when it looked challenging, when it looked difficult, when it looked uncertain, when it looked unreasonable. Why? Because she's got a champion spirit. And I want you to know, church, every one of us, God has placed a champion spirit in us that doesn't give in, doesn't cave in, doesn't walk away, doesn't retreat, but it advances in Jesus' name in every season. You take the weather with you. So you choose. You get to choose how you're going to respond to these moments that we find ourselves in. So some quick thoughts I've got for us today. Don't base your expectations on what is reasonable. On what is reasonable. Don't play it safe. Believe for big. Believe for God to do the unreasonable, the unimaginable, the things that are out of sight for you. Expectation, it's important because it's the beginnings of faith. It's the beginnings of faith. It's the seed of faith is expectation, because expectation turns to hope, and a hope that becomes so strong, so resilient, so possessive in our hearts and minds that it develops a confidence and a conviction that the unseen things will one day be seen. Hebrews 11:1, most of you know it well. It's the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hoped for. It's a conviction of things not seen. I hope you've got some things you're hoping for. Yeah. Anyone got some things they're hoping for in the room today? Yeah. They got some things you have an assurance of. even though you don't have it yet, that you've got a conviction of, even though you're not seeing it yet. I pray that you have that. Here's the thing with God. God does not work with reason. God works with expectation. God works with faith. God works with faith. God does not work with facts. God works with our faith. Now, facts are facts, but facts don't change circumstances. Faith does. Faith doesn't ignore the facts, it sees the facts, but it looks to the future and believes for the future. So always know the facts, always know the reason, always know what the details of the fight are all about, but believe beyond the battle. Believe beyond the battle. Understand that God works beyond the boundaries of both reason and facts. I love this about God. We looked at it last week, that all things are possible when we believe in a God that makes all things possible. All things are possible when we believe in a God that makes all things possible. You see, possibilities are not about me. It's not about you. It's all about God. And God is a big God, and He's big enough for this moment. He's big enough for this moment. He's big enough for any moment and every moment. He's big enough for every battle. Everything this world throws at us, every fight you're in, God is big enough. So we need to have expectation. Turn to your neighbor and say, expectation. Expectation. You know, where there's no expectation, there's frustration. Where there's no expectation, there's frustration. Where there's no expectation, there's a resignation to the way things are, and this is the way things will always be. Where there is expectation, however, in God, there is possibility. There is possibility that God may do something good. So we can't live reasonable if we want to move our lives forward. We can't. We can't live reasonable if we want to move our lives forward. It's going to take some risk-taking. It's going to take some adventure. It's going to take some boldness. It's going to require some believing and belonging in our hearts. And so, church, let's not place our expectation in the now, in the fuss, in the uncertainty, in the insecurity or the confusion. But let's base our expectation on the future. On the future. On the promise that God has for us. And then what happens is we can stay convinced. You know, there's just a good thing about living convinced. Convinced about God. Convinced about His Word. Convinced about His promises for every single one of us. And that'll help you stay connected and belonging and believing. You know, God has called and commanded us in the Bible to seek first the kingdom of God, not our own kingdom. This principle really helps me in moments of confusion, in moments of uncertainty when things are not clear in our world or my world, is to seek first God's kingdom, not my own kingdom. The thing I don't like about that is it's just not reasonable. It's not reasonable. It's not reasonable to live for someone else's kingdom. What about my kingdom? What about me? It isn't fair. We all feel that. God's called us to live above that fairness thought and above that selfish thought, and to live in a selfless thought where we live and we prioritize the kingdom of God in terms of how we live in every season. Now, it may not sound reasonable to be asked to live that way, but if you're a believer and if you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, then that's God's expectation. God's expectation on us to be devoted and consistent in our family gatherings, our church gatherings, our community gatherings, either online or in person, that you're committed and consistent in terms of that. That we're connecting and building community in our small groups. Our connect groups are kicking back this week. Make sure that you get involved and you get connected. Inquire at the Ask Me desk and we can point you in the right direction in terms of a group that's just right for you. It also means serving in the kingdom. That's what it means. It means serving in the kingdom, to live for God's kingdom. It means to be responsible financially, and as Josh said, bringing our gift, bringing our contribution, bringing our tithe, our 10% of our income to the Lord, and to bless him with the gift that he's allowed us to earn, and we give in return and response, because that's kingdom living. That's being kingdom minded. That's living with a kingdom expectation. Number two, we need to not base our expectation on past experiences. Don't base what you believe for on the past, on the things that haven't worked out, on what didn't happen, on the things and events and circumstances you found yourself in. Just keep your heart fresh every day. You know, you look better when you're fresh in your faith and you're believing. You look better. You can tell when people are fresh. You see it in their eyes. You see the spark when people are fresher, because they're keeping their faith alive every day. And the way to do that is to not let the burden of the moment weigh you down. You weren't designed to carry burdens. Jesus talked about it. He said, come on, bring those burdens and place them on me. And I'll place my lightness on you, and I'll take the heaviness off you. I love the fact that Jesus, that God carries the heaviness of life on our behalf. There's a man called Mel Fisher. He was a treasure hunter, and he looked for this treasure for every day for 16 years. It was the treasure of a Spanish ship that was sunk off Florida Keys in 1622. And he and his crew, for 16 years, woke up every day, went to work, looking for this sunken treasure. The story goes that he lived in a leaky houseboat, and you know, hardly had any money left because of the devotion he'd given to finding this treasure. He paid his crew on promises mostly, because there was nothing much else to pay them. Kind of sounds like the no. He lost a son and he lost a daughter in the search at sea over the years of looking. And yet, despite all of that, he never gave up. I love this. He never gave up. Every day he would declare the same thing to his crew. Every single day he would say to them before they went out, he would say, today's the day. Today's the day. He'd say it with a smile. He'd say it with a spark. He'd say it with a sense of belief. Today's the day. 16 years of saying, today's the day. Today's the day. You know, it could get a bit, you know, you can start feeling a bit ordinary saying today's the day when you've had a lot of days and it hasn't quite happened yet. But after 16 years, he's sitting in his office in 1985. He's sitting in the salvage quarters as the team are out searching. One of his sons is out leading the team. Hears the radio crackle, and his son says, Dad, put away the charts. We found the mother load. We found the mother load. 16 years of waking up every day and resetting his expectations. But not only his, resetting the expectations of his team every day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today, I wonder how you got up today and what you said to yourself. I wonder what you're speaking to your circumstance and your situation. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today is the day. You know, I think we all need to reset our expectations for this new year. Because after 2021, little jaded. After 2020, smashed. And if 2022 looks anything like it, it could be the ruin of us all in a sense. But, you know, I want to face every day with today's the day. Today's the day. And not only in my heart and mind, but for all of us, to convince us that today's the day. No matter what's going on, today's the day. Today's the day. It's the only option we have. It's called faith. It's called believing what you can't see, what you can't feel, what you don't yet have. And when you live with that thought of today's the day, you look fresher. You look fresher when you go to work, today's the day, rather than dragging yourself in. Sometimes you see people come to work and you think, why don't you just go home? Get back in bed and wake up. Wake up bright. Wake up alert. Wake up ready. Because today's the day. Anything could happen today. Your hopes and dreams and desires could all come true today. It might be the 16th year today. So don't conform your expectation to your experience. Please don't make the mistake of lowering your expectations in an uncertain season. Don't let your faith be ruled and dominated and dictated to by a pandemic or any other pandemic that's going around. Let it be ruled and determined by the transforming power of God's word, God's presence, God's heart, and God's nature. And here's why. If we can keep our expectations from conforming to the fuss of what's going on, then God can use our expectation to build our future. Our future. You know, God can use your unreasonable expectation, your faith, your hope, your conviction, your confidence. God can use that to do something new for you, for your family, for your faith, and for your future. Because expectation is like a creative force. It's a creative force is what expectation is. It gives God something to work with in our lives and in our hearts when we have a spirit of faith and a spirit of expectancy. So we don't get knocked down and give up. We take the knocks. The knocks are real. The knocks hurt. The knocks are frustrating. The knocks are debilitating sometimes. But just like the song says, you might get knocked down, but get up again. Get up again, and today's the day. Today's the day. You know, Ash Barty didn't get where she got to by winning every game of tennis and every set and every match. There's a lot of losses before you get to be the winner. I mean, I don't know how many decades it was since an Australian last won that. I think it was like 40 years or 37 years or something, Lloydy. Somewhere there. I'm referencing Lloydy because he's the tennis player in church. But it was like 30-odd years since in the 80s that an Australian woman has won the Australian Open. We haven't held the title for that long. So for Ash Barty's entire life, no Australian woman has held the title of the Australian Open. Yet she holds it. She holds it. She holds it. And she's had a lot of losses to get to the win. And she would have woke up yesterday and thought, today's the day. Today's the day. But three quarters of the way through that day, it wasn't looking like the day. Because she was getting knocked down. And when you start to take some knocks, you've got a decision to make. Am I going to lay down? Am I going to give up? Am I going to walk away? Or am I going to behave like a believer? What am I going to do? Jim Courier last night, as he was commentating, who was a famous tennis player himself, he was commenting about Ash Barty and when she was starting to fail. And he was saying, she's processing, she's problem solving, she's working this out on about how she's going to play, how she's going to respond when it wasn't looking good. She just got sharper and started to look fresher and fresher until she finally finished. And I think it's a beautiful picture of what life is for us. It may look like it's over, but it ain't over. Yeah. It may look like the end, but what looks like the end isn't the end. It's the beginning. It's a new beginning. Have a spirit and a hope and a heart of expectancy, because that's a platform that God can work with. And then finally, our attitude as a church, as a believer, as individuals is and needs to be this. Never give up on your and our future. Never give up on your and our future. Be unreasonable about doing what God has called you to do, about being who God has called you to be. Be convinced about who God has called you to be, and be convinced about what God has called you to do. Live with a sense of conviction. As Josh said, have a big why. Have a big sense of why you do what you do. Why you believe what you believe. Why you come to church. Why you belong to church. Why you invest. Why you serve. Why you connect. Why you build community. Why? Have a big why. Because if you don't have a big sense of why, you'll be caught up on the negative side of why. And when the what happens, it'll disrupt your faith. And this has been a season of major disruption. They call it the season of great resignation, where people are resigning from many aspects of life, from jobs, careers, businesses shutting down, people giving up, pastors walking away. Three pastors in New Zealand committed suicide in the last 2 weeks. just gave up, saw no way out. It's happening in America en masse. The pressures, the stresses, the implosion, the gaps, the holes, the people that were there that are no longer there, the people that have given up on their faith or given up on their church family and walked away. Church, can I say this to us? You hear our state government, you hear our national government appealing about our businesses and our cafes and small business owners and local people that are just trying to do the best they can and supporting them. And we need to do that from a practical perspective. We need to get out and we need to live life. We need to help them by our business with them. But it's also the same in church world. Don't stop coming. Don't ever stop coming. Because here's the thought. You need God and I need God more than I needed Him yesterday. And you can find God by yourself and you can have a nice little Christian journey by yourself. You can do that to a degree. But God designed this thing called family. God designed this thing called His church. It's not perfect. It's not perfect because people are in it. It's not perfect because people lead it. But it is what God designed. And it is a place where God promises that we will grow and we will flourish if we have a sense of being planted, deeply rooted, and we belong. So be the kind of believer that stands in every season. I wonder about that story of the treasure hunter. I wonder how his team felt every day for 16 years when he came out and go, "This is the day." I think after a week of that, you'd kind of tune out and you'd think, "Oh, that's just leadership stuff, you know, that's just the stuff they do, trying to hype you up and get me excited for the day." And you kind of just become dull and desensitized to it and think he's just delusional. Just delusional. And it wasn't that at all. It's just that character was one of those very unique characters that just had a very big why. Was absolutely convinced that the treasure he sought was actually there and that they would find it. You know, the Bible talks about that the faith we have, the belief we have in God, that the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a treasure. It's like a treasure. And every day I want to wake up and I want to live life and I want to lead people with a "this is the day" kind of spirit. Not to hype you up, because I'm not interested in hyping you up. You can get that at some other conference. I'm not here to hype you up. I'm here to help you up. Help you up. Here to help you live up. Here to help you look up rather than give up and bow down and walk away. Here to help your future. I know the now is challenging, but the future is beautiful. It's beautiful. Why don't you stand to your feet? Right across the hall. You know, the thing about expectation for me is not only does it help you, it helps everybody else. Something exciting about expectation. When you see someone expecting, like Renee on the front row here, is expecting. I'm so excited for her. Renee's my niece, by the way. I'm so excited to see her and Luke expecting. And I kind of giggle every Sunday when I walk in and I see the expectancy growing and growing and growing and growing. But there'll come a day for Renee when the expectancy won't be quite as exciting as it is right now. Because it gets close to the delivery. And you just got to hang on through the delivery. Here's a man talking to a lot of women about that when I know nothing about it, but I have been in the room a few times. I just know that there comes a moment where it gets a bit hard, it gets a bit heavy. It gets a bit like, is this ever going to end? It will end. It will end. And then comes the prize. And the amazing thing about the prize is, once again, here's a man telling a woman what they feel. But as soon as the mum holds that prize in their arms, the pain is forgotten. It's forgotten. That amazes me, because I'm a man. And men feel the pain, and we live in the pain, and we let the pain linger. We don't do pain real well. So I think we all need to get in touch with our feminine side. Come on, guys. Get in touch with your... It's even hard to say that word. Feminine side. And let the pain go. Just let it go. Everyone say, let it go. Let it go. Let the pain of the moment, let it go. The pain of the past, let it go. And part of the letting go with that is to live expectant. To live expectant. Well, lots of love for you today. Lots of respect for you today. I'm praying for you today. I want to pray for your family today. I want to pray for this season. Because I just refuse to give in to the thought that it is what it is. God is just so big. He's so powerful. He's so mighty. He's so amazing. And he's got the best life for every one of us. The best life for every single one of us. And so I want to pray over you today. Maybe you're doing it a bit hard. Would you close your eyes? You're online today. Just lean in right now. I just want God to breathe his expectancy into you and upon you and all over you today. I pray that God would help you today and help every one of us today. Not to be caught up in the fuss, but to believe for an amazing future. An amazing future. Father, we come to you today as your children. We come to you today as people that are in need of your presence, in need of your help, in need of your intervention. Our world needs it desperately, God. And so we pray today that we'd be confident that you're with us in the moment. You're with us in the battle. You're with us in the fight, in the dilemma. And God, we reach out to you because you're our source of hope. You sustain us in every season. Your word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for bread. And so, Father, it speaks to us of the heart of God to help us and deliver us. And so I'm praying for friends and family today, for people in the room and online today that are just in a difficult moment, doing it hard, finding it hard to believe that today is the day. I pray restore the hope, the conviction of who they are and what they're called to do. And help us be that people. Help us be that people is my prayer today. That we would wake up every day and say to ourselves, today's the day. Today is the day. I need you, Lord. Why don't we sing that beautiful song, I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you more than yesterday. Live convinced of the fact that you just need God more than you actually think you do. Come on, lean in for a few moments.
Than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Today's the day. Today is the day. Sunday, fun day, faith day. Just let God breathe it into your spirit, into your heart, into your posture. Wake up every day bright. Wake up every day alert. Wake up every day full of the why you do what you do. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you to our online community. God bless you. Have an amazing week this week. Hospitality's open. If you're a new person, we want to invite you. Our cafe's open. There's coffee. There's food available there. There's friends ready to meet you in the foyer today. Why don't you take some time to hang out in church in our after-service service in the cafe area for hospitality. Don't forget, Food Co-op is open, and also Connect Groups kicking off this week. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you for being with us.